Greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Law Hour, an editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law Hour, an editorial review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law Hour, an editorial review, brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the International Forecaster right after this. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use terms like private ownership, private property, and private rights, but we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses, and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? Bonds are the exact opposite to private property, and public business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights. Permits are the exact opposite to private business. And why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from all of these incessant attacks by government agencies like OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, Zoning and Planning, the IRS, and all of these swarms of government agents and agencies that are eating out your substance? Well, you know, there's a lot that we can do. The first step is to inform ourselves as to the legal alternatives that we have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about private business, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package and let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about private business. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. So you can call right now and order yours. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org, click onto the email, and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. All right, last time we were talking about the International Forecaster put out by Bob Chapman. Bob Chapman's been putting this thing out for about 46 years. He's an ex-CIA agent, pretty knowledgeable, ex-government man, been all over the world. And he's an alternative. He's one of many alternatives, but I think probably one of the best alternatives to Main Street media or the mainstream press. It's a newsletter that comes out weekly, every Saturday morning. It comes off of the Internet. They pick it up here in our office for me. Saturday morning, I pick it up around noon to 1 o'clock, and I start reading in the afternoon the International Forecaster. It's one of probably 30 newsletters that come into our offices here, and we glean the news from these newsletters. We read things like the Wall Street Journal and USA Today, and I watch the Lehrer News Hour almost every night. I'm pretty attuned to the news, and I listen to what we're being told in the mainstream press, and then I read the underground press, and I get the other side of the story. As old Paul Harvey used to say, here's the rest of the story, the rest of the story that you don't hear. And it makes a big difference in planning. It makes a big difference in the way you think and the way you view the world when you see two sides to the story. And Bob Chapman here is putting out the other side to the story. Now, he's not the only guy that's doing that. I recommend The Privateer. Comes out of Australia. The Privateer is a weekly newsletter, 12 pages, bi-weekly, excuse me, 26 issues a year. And the guy, the author, William Buckley, or Buckler, is a dynamite. He puts out a tremendous package every 2 weeks. Now, I don't review the Privateer on the air any longer. Buckler told me that he didn't want me to review his newsletter. He wanted you to subscribe to it. It's a little difficult. I don't know quite exactly how the people in Australia think, and I don't know if he's just an iconoclast in this regard, but I understand his view. He doesn't want me to review his newsletters. He wants you to subscribe to it, and I recommend it, and I recommend it to all of you. It's $180 Australian. I think that's probably about $130 a year American. And then the number two here, I don't know if I'd rate them number one or number two, the second one here that I recommend highly is the International Forecaster, and the third one is Franklin Sanders Money Changer. So if you were to spend $130 and $130, and I don't remember what Sanders is, let's say it's 60, and see how much this is, $132.60 and 30, for $300 a year, or about what you're spending right now on your newspaper and maybe a couple of subscriptions to Time or Life or Newsweek or one of those news magazines, you probably could get the rest of the story, as old Paul Harvey used to put it, from those three newsletters. And then there's Kitco, K-I-T-C-O. Write that one down, Kitco. That's where I get the Mogambo Guru and probably, I don't know, 10 free newsletters. Now, they're in brief. You want to remember that the Kitco newsletters are kind of teasers or advertisers, but, you know, for those of you on a tight budget, why don't you go to Kitco.com and just start looking at the Mogambo Guru and pay attention to the various reports that come in from other economists. A lot of economists out there that are conservative economists that are telling you, hey, wait a minute, this ship's got holes all up and down both sides. This isn't the Titanic. This is the great ship America. There's another side to the story. And they review stories, you know, like the credit bubble and the housing bubble and stocks and bonds and gold and silver and investments. But they also cover, like Chapman does here, a number of other topics. For instance, let's look at drugs here. Plan Colombia cost U.S. taxpayers $3 billion, and this war on drugs is collapsing in chaos and corruption, and it's being abandoned by our government. Now, remember, this government, let me make a little comment here. Our government's spending on this war on drugs billions of dollars. The last number I thought I saw was $22 billion on this war on drugs. There's just as many drugs in America today as there's always been. And you can see that by the price of drugs going down. There's more drugs in America than there's ever been. There's no shortage of drugs here. So either one, the government's incompetent and incapable of controlling drugs, or number two, the other alternative is they're supporting the drug trade, and they're profiting from the drug trade, and they're not doing anything to stop it or slow it down. Now, the reality of it is, if you spent $22 billion and the price of drugs is going down on the illegal black market, then obviously there's more drugs than there's ever been. So the billions that you're spending on the war on drugs is a waste of your time, effort, and energy. So why don't you save that $22 billion and leave the drug dealers alone? Or if you're going to spend $22 billion, then why don't you eradicate drugs? Now, down on the Mexican border not too long ago, down in Arizona, they put out the Minutemen. Those Minutemen have been working down there now, and they shut off the illegal immigration. So if 10,000 American citizens can shut off illegal immigration in Arizona, surely the United States government, the most powerful nation in the world, could do the same thing if they wanted to. But you see, the public policy is to control immigration, but the private behind-the-scenes policy is let them all in. And that's what's going on. Now, it isn't that it can't be done. It's that it's not going to be done. Aerial spraying of these cocoa plants, for instance, has been unsuccessful. The chemicals used have poisoned humans, poisoned livestock, poisoned fish, and the environment. The Colombian government has set the U.S. government, or sent us another request for another $130 million to supplement the $600 million. That it expects to receive in 2006. The government wants the money for more spraying that doesn't work and has terrible human fallout. In the end, it's all about money, and it's a total failure. And then when we talk about aliens here, Harvard professor of economics, Borges, says illegal aliens displace American workers out of $200 billion in lost wages annually. Bear Stearns says illegal aliens work off the books to the tune of $400 billion annually in uncollected IRS income taxes. California, with 3 million illegals, stands at $38 billion in debt, has closed 86 hospitals and ER wards, which have gone into bankruptcy. Illegals send $56 billion back to their home countries each year. $16.8 billion to Mexico, $25 billion to South America, $16 billion to Asia. This should make you think when you fill out your tax forms. This is a burden that we can no longer endure. Why do we have these problems? Why do we have these policies? You're not reading that story in the Wall Street Journal. But we have these policies because they make money for multinational corporations. I was working some years ago with a tree service up in Lincoln, Nebraska, and out on the street corners in the morning, these Mexicans couldn't even speak English. They'd be standing out there, and we'd just drive up, and then they'd jump in the back of the pickup. Just hold your hand up, three, you know, and three guys jump in the back of your pickup, and they go out and work for $5 an hour. Wages that we have to pay Americans $10 an hour for, they work at half price, $5 an hour. They work just as hard, just as well, and we save $5 an hour. That's the motivation for American business. It's short-sighted. We'd be better off paying $10 an hour because people that are making $10 an hour can buy our goods and services. People that are working for $5 an hour who are illegal aliens have no loyalty to America. They send the money out of the country, and it adds to our balance of payments deficit. That's the money, you know, that's being sent out. Well, okay, boys and girls, we wanted free trade, and we got it. Now, if you want to know the other side of the story here to free trade, I mean, the other side of the story to Bob Schieffer and the CBS News is going to be in the newsletters. Let's take a look here at the producer price index. Chapman tells us that touching off renewed talk about stagflation, U.S. wholesale prices rose at an accelerated clip in April. While industrial output was surprisingly weak, the producer price index, it's called the PPI, was up 0.6% in April. This is after the Bureau of Labor Statistics, hedonics, goodness knows what the real figure is. Whatever this will cause higher inflation and cut corporate profits. The year-on-year PPI increase is 4.8%. Now, you've been watching the 6 o'clock news, and Bob Schieffer comes on and says, well, inflation is running at about 3%, maybe 4. Excuse me, boys and girls. Excuse me. Have you been watching the housing bubble? Well, in the housing bubble, that is, the price of houses is going up nationwide 15% a year. In some locations, it's 20, 25, 30%. But on average, and over the last 5 years, it's been going up about 15% a year. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the Bureau of Labor Statistics, who puts out this producer price index and the consumer price index and tells us about inflation, they don't put housing into the equation. Now, the boys and girls, I don't know about you, but I live in a house. And I got to pay rent and taxes and mortgage payments just like everybody else. And when you're making these payments, this is a cost of doing business. When you go out and buy a piece of real estate today, there's an escalating price. The price of land in this area here in Ozark County was $250 an acre in cheap land here. It was $250 an acre. In about 1985. Today, the cheapest acre of ground that you can buy here, that's a rock outcrop, you know, at the end of a dirt road, is $2,000 an acre. Now, that's called inflation. Now, that's gone on over the last 20 years. But it's a part of the cost of living. It's a part of inflation. Gasoline prices have gone up. I can remember here, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, gasoline was under $1 a gallon. Under $1 a gallon here 5 years ago. Today, it's a little over $2 a gallon. Now, over the last 5 years, the price of gasoline has been going up by about 20 cents a gallon per year. Well, isn't that about 20%? And then we don't put that into the equation. This is why when you get one of these newsletters, they tell you the real inflation rate, boys and girls, when you add everything in, is running around 12% a year. Inflation in the United States is 12%. Our government tells us it's 3 or 4. I mean, come on. I'm not here to harangue you. I'm just here to tell you that you're being lied to. That's number one. And number two, you don't have a correct view of the inflation problem. Now, you can get a pretty good view of the inflation problem from the Mogambo Guru newsletter. Comes out on Wednesday over Kitco.com. Kitco.com. So let me recommend the Mogambo Guru. And remember, it comes out free. Now, I'm sure that Mogambo probably puts out a newsletter for $130 a year. So if you want more information, why don't you call him and find out. But there's at least a teaser that comes over the Kitco website. Let's take a look at Iran. Do you know we're getting ready for war in Iran? Iran comes up next. As the economic problems get worse in the United States, to keep your mind off of immigration, the federal budget deficit, the balance of payments deficit, America is a net debtor nation, and the outsourcing of millions of jobs, and impending General Motors bankruptcy, and impending Ford bankruptcy, and AIDS, and Alzheimer's, and muscular dystrophy, and multiple sclerosis, and cancer affecting one out of two people in America, and the pension plan insolvency problem by the thousands of companies turning over their pension plans to the government, and drug addiction, and 99% of Americans are sick, and 27% of us are fat, and on it goes. We have to have wars. It keeps your mind off of the real problems that are going on. In ancient Rome, it was bread and circuses. In America, we do the same thing. We have the Super Bowl and the World Series. It keeps your mind occupied in things or on things that we don't have to really get serious about. Now, if you want to get serious and get prepared, well, then, you know, you need to read a news source that's a little different than the Wall Street Journal. That's why I'm doing a review here on the International Forecaster. And while I'm at it, before I get into Iran, let me tell you how to get a copy of this. Why don't you write a letter to Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster, Post Office Box 510518. It's a long post office box, 510518. Punta, P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, G-O-R-D-A, Florida. Now, he says this is pretty important. You got to have your papers in order. Here's your number. It's 33951. That's the zip code, 33951. And you have to put this -0518. -0518. That's zip plus four. Otherwise, they won't deliver it. Now, you can also go to the International Forecaster. It is theinternationalforecaster.com. It's all one word, theinternationalforecaster.com. That's our website. Or you can send them an email. It's internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. It's easy enough. International Forecaster, two words, International Forecaster. There's no the in that one. It's just internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. I think you'll be glad you did. It's $130 a year. It's 8 cents a page. Comes out weekly. 40 pages. And this guy has, I mean, this newsletter probably covers more than any other newsletter that I receive here. And we probably receive 30. I haven't counted them, but I can tell you that our staff here brings in probably 30 newsletters a week that I read. And that's part of it. I mean, I read the Wall Street Journal and USA Today, and I watch the Lehrer News Hour every night, just about. I watch Bob Schieffer. I mean, there's a certain amount of information on the mainstream press that you have to know. It's the propaganda that you have to know to be an American. Now, the other side of the coin, as old Paul Harvey used to say, you know, the rest of the story, you're going to have to get from some other source. And that's why I recommend The Privateer. Now, The Privateer is put out by Bill Buckler down in Queensland, Australia. And I can't speak highly enough about Buckler's newsletter, The Privateer. Now, Buckler sent me a letter, and he said, "Don't you review my Privateer on the air anymore." I said to myself, now here I am trying to promote this guy's newsletter, and he doesn't want me to review it. So in deference to Bill Buckler and The Privateer, I've stopped reviewing it on the air because of his request. I mean, after all, it's his property, it's his paper, it's his newsletter. When I review a newsletter, it's not because I'm trying to steal this guy's information. I'm trying to promote this guy. And Bob Chapman and Bill Buckler and Franklin Sanders and Don McElhaney, these guys don't send me any kickbacks. I don't get any money out of promoting their material. But I'm here to tell you that there's another side to the story that you boys and girls out there haven't heard. I mean, if you're not subscribing to an underground newsletter, you're not getting the whole story. And if you're making your business decisions, if you're buying a condominium, like the people that I was telling you about, I think last time, up here in Chicago, they're buying a condominium. It's a guy and his wife. This guy's going to medical school. They were just on the news. I don't know, it was, you know, CBS Evening News or McNeil Lair or something like that. They're talking about the housing bubble. Yeah, the mainstream press talks about the housing bubble, but the story that they're telling you about the housing bubble is kind of like, oh gosh, look at the money that these people are making over here. It's not a dire warning like you get out of the underground press, like, my God, you must be out of your mind. It's you should be aware that there's a potential that years down the road, you know, if things don't work out right, you might not make as much money as you thought you were going to make. The underground press says, and you're not only not going to make as much money as you thought you were going to make, you're going to get screwed, blued, and tattooed, and you're going to get burned on top of it. So let me just tell you this little story over here. Maybe you hadn't been paying attention to this. I'll just do a little paraphrasing here before we get into the Iran story. The guy was on the news, and he's a medical student, and him and his wife, they want to buy a house. They bought a condominium, I think it was $300,000 or $310,000 or $20,000 in Chicago. They can't afford the payments. To keep the payments as low as possible, they took an interest-only adjustable rate mortgage for 30 years on this condominium. Now, they've signed a 30-year contract. They're going to pay interest-only for 5 years, and then they start paying some principal. So their payments are going to go up by about a third. They go up from $1,400 to $2,000. If the interest rate goes up 2 percentage points, it'll go up another $500 a month. Now, here's the kicker. Let's suppose that the housing bubble breaks and this $300,000 condominium decreases in price to $250,000 or $200,000 or $150,000. God forbid, of course, but then, you know, let's just be pragmatic. And these people go bankrupt and they can't handle it, so they'll go in and they'll file bankruptcy. And do you know that under the new bankruptcy rules, see, the bankruptcy rules don't apply to you like they do Enron and General Motors. What that means under the new bankruptcy rules, this guy's going to be a doctor, so he can't bankrupt out of that debt and clear it. He can bankrupt out of some of his debts, and some of his debts he can't, and he'll have what's called a deficiency payment to make. So whatever the value of that, he's got a contract for $300,000, the property goes down in value to $150,000, he's got a deficiency of $150,000, and he's going to be paying on that for the next 30 years, whether he likes it or not. He's got a double whammy. Number one, he doesn't have the house, and number two, he gets to pay for it anyway. Now, how do you like that? Now, that isn't something that Bob Schieffer and Jim Lehrer are telling you about. You know, Bob and Jim are nice guys, I'm sure. But they're not telling you the rest of the story. So, I think in order for you to plan, I mean, you know, there's money to be made in real estate, and I'm not opposed to making money, and I'm not opposed to profit, and I'm not opposed to buying and selling real estate. I'm just opposed to making bad business deals. And that's why I teach a business school. I mean, I've been down this road before, and a lot of us old-timers, you know, with gray hair, you know, we've lost a lot of money, and we've made a lot of money, and we kind of know where the bodies are buried. So, there's an old biblical adage that says, go to the hoary head. Hoary head. Go to the people with gray hair and ask them. I always tell my students when I come in here, I say, if you ask me, I'll tell you, but if you don't ask, I'm not going to harangue you. I'm not going to tell you what you don't want to know and what you aren't interested in. So, tell me what you want to know and I'll tell you the answer, if I know. Take a look at Iran. Getting ready for war in Iran. Vice President Dick Cheney tells us that Iran is at the top of the list of rogue enemies, the rogue enemies of America, and that Israel would, so to speak, do the bombing for us without U.S. military involvement and without us putting pressure on them to do it. Israel is about to bring us into a third world nuclear war. It's a U.S.-Israeli operation that has been underway for 2 years. Both countries want Iran's oil, and Israel wants it neutralized so it can expand its Middle East empire. This is a Douglas Feith project, and that's why he was at the Bilderberger conference to give a status report on his progress and timetable for the Iran invasion. Israel has just taken delivery of some 5,000 smart air-launched weapons, including some 500 BLU-109 bunker bombs. These uranium-coated munitions are said to be more than adequate to address the full range of Iranian targets, except one at Natanz, that's N-A-T-A-N-Z, Natanz, which will require BLU-113 bunker busting bombs in a nuclear configuration. Of course, we will supply additional air cover, AWACS radar, and communications jamming protection, and Israeli subs will launch Harpoon missiles. And this is to secure Iran's oil, occupy, and allow Israeli expansion. The game is on. It's just a question of when. Now, there's another clause in here, and another newsletter says, well, June is probably the month that they're going to do this. See, they've been negotiating now with the Iranians over that nuclear plant that they're building. And, you know, I'm just a layman on the scene over here. I'm just making reports. You know, I don't know whether it's good or bad, or whether Iran's a good guy or a bad guy. And, you know, if the Iranians had a nuclear weapon, I'm sure that they'd give it to Osama bin Laden so he could blow up New York City. So you're in a dilemma here. So George Bush and the neocons, they're not, you know, they're not just whistling Dixie through a straw hat. But you got to remember that when you're a world power, when you're an empire like the Roman Empire, everybody's out gunning for you. And as the world's number one empire, we have to have oil. And I didn't know this until just the other day. I saw it here in a wire service piece. Iran has 120 billion barrels of oil, proven reserves. Iraq has 115. Now, Iraq has 25% of the world's oil. Iran has another 25%. Saudi Arabia has about 35 or 40%. All the rest of the world has about, you know, 10, 15, maybe 20% of the world's oil. Now, think of that. Now, we've sewed up 25% of the world's oil by conquering Iraq, and we're about to, and we've got the other 30 or 40% in Saudi Arabia. They have a little bit more oil in Saudi Arabia, and we've already got that. Now, if we could just go in there and take over Iran, I mean, we have sewed up the world's oil supplies. And that's what this game is all about. This is international geopolitics. Now, of course, this produces some problems. You know, you got the Chinese. They got 1 billion people over there. You know, there's 1 billion. Then you've got the emerging economy of India. That's another 1 billion people. So you've got one third of the world's people in two countries, India and China. And they also need that oil. And they're a lot closer to it than we Americans. Of course, they don't have the weapons capabilities that we Americans have. And this is why we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, the story about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This is why we read in Ezekiel 5, talking about your cities will be laid waste. This is why you got 1 billion people around the world called Muslims that hate you. You know, you run around here stealing people's oil, they get upset about that now. These camel jockeys out there were running around in the desert, you know, found out that that oil was worth something, and we're over there stealing it from them, and they're not too keen about that. Now, you know, you Americans represent about 6% of the world's population, and you're over here messing with a billion Muslims, 1 billion Chinese, and 1 billion Indians. Now, that's 3 billion people. That's the other half of the world's population. Now, of course, we got the weaponry and we got the technology over here on our side. But there's only 6% of us. And we're out here stealing from and lying to and cheating people out of their property. And pretty soon, you know, you got everybody gunning for you. And I don't think that's a very good position to be in. No, I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I'm here to suggest to you, you might want to rethink that. Now, as economic problems start to show their ugly faces, this is a little paragraph here on economics. As economic problems start to show their ugly faces later this year, we will be fighting a new war for the neocon version of democracy in Iran or North Korea. As the tensions of the draft, layoffs, financial failure become ominous, and living standards fall, there will be greater repression of Americans under Patriot Act 1 and Patriot Act 2 as our citizens shout their questions at government. and oil is being pumped at capacity, well above amounts needed for commerce to suppress prices or to try to temper rising inflation. They also need all the oil they can get in case of major destruction of Iran's oil facilities. War will be blamed for economic failure, and the politicians in our society and the people in our society who voted for Bush will go right along with the subterfuge. You know, these old Republican politicians will not even notice the collateral damage. And incidentally, we say that as lifelong Republicans and real right-wingers. I might point out, you know, that most of us that are in the underground press are conservative people, politically conservative. And I can tell you that I voted the straight Republican ticket, you know, all my life. And I'm absolutely appalled at this Bush administration. I can hardly believe what I'm seeing here. You know, we conservatives, you know, speak in terms of gold and silver and hard money and fiscal restraint. When we see $500 billion a year budget deficits and $500, $600, $700, now they're talking about $900 billion next year, 2006, trade deficits, you know, that's not conservative politics. The Bush administration is not a conservative administration. It may be a Republican, but it's not conservative. In fact, it's wilder and more liberal than Franklin D. Roosevelt and Harry Truman and Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton all rolled into one. I mean, that's just where reality's at. So I don't think that when you listen to these newsletter writers here, and I don't know of a single one of them that's a Democrat. I don't know of a single liberal newsletter writer. They're all conservatives, and they're all anti-Bush and anti-Republican, at least at this juncture of time. Now, by the end of the year, the invasions will have begun. Americans are about to experience their worst nightmare. The New World Order thinks that they know best how you and I should live and where you and I should work. And we're about to experience darkness and evil as we have never known it before here in America. We will win, but because Americans have not been vigilant, they will pay a terrible cost. And you can bet once action begins in Iran that Iraq will explode in escalating violence and we're essentially bankrupt. And that becomes more evident as time moves on. There will be great difficulty ahead. Now, you're not reading that, boys and girls, on the CBS or the Lair NewsHour. I mean, you're not hearing that story. Now, there's a story here. I want to take a break here. I want to come back and I want to tell you a story about the White Rose. And in the White Rose, we appear every Monday, a letter to the 50 editors from the subscriber. He sent this out to 50 papers and none would print it. And Bob Chapman said, we'll be happy to print it. And I said, well, if Chapman is happy to print it, then I'm happy to air it. So I'm going to bring you the story of the White Rose. This occurred in Germany back in 1940. And it certainly fits America today in 2005, but we got to take a break here at the halfway point and give you a couple of reminders. So hang on, I'll be right back. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, for more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, biblical law, and the scriptural or biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log. It has our schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. 4967. Now, the Law Hour, an editorial review, brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events from the scriptural perspective 7 days a week. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, at least to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to the authors and publications used on this program, and they often endorse and recommend the books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, the endorsements or recommendations that we give do not necessarily mean that the authors or the publications so endorsed or recommended are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of the authors and publications cited on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review or vice versa. And finally, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers. So don't blame the advertisers now, or the sponsors, or the management, or the staff of the network, or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. We're called the Law School Direct, 417-273-4967. All right, that clears us with the FCC, and it clears us with our broadcasters so that they don't take the heat from you listeners out there when you're listening to these kooks and these right-wing radical reactionary fanatics, as they typically brand us. Let's take a look here at Iraq oil. Our elitists in Washington turned a blind eye to extensive sanctions. Now, this is from the International Forecaster. This is Bob Chapman again, who says, our elitists in Washington turned a blind eye to extensive sanctions, busting big fellow elitists in the pre-war sale of Iraq oil, according to a new Senate investigation. We are glad the Senate is taking notice, and we reported on this over a year ago. U.S. oil purchases accounted for 52% of the kickbacks paid to the regime, it's that Saddam Hussein's regime in Iraq, in return for cheap oil. On occasion, our government even facilitated these illegal sales, and it was also found that the U.S. attorney refused to take action against a Texas oil company called Bay Oil, which was then a conduit for payment to Saddam Hussein from the United States. The State Department gave a tacit green light for shipments of nearly 8 million barrels bought by Jordan, a stooge for U.S. government. And when U.N. monitors asked for information on Bay Oil, the U.S. Treasury refused to comply. Our government assisted the theft of $11 billion, and they will cover it all up. Now, that's been going on for a long time. So while we were, you know, we put this oil embargo on the Iraqis. Remember that oil embargo? The Iraqis can't sell their oil. Then we came along with this plan through the United Nations, and we said, well, we'll tell you what. You know, for medicine and food, we'll let you sell some of that oil. Well, guess who's buying it? America. And Saddam Hussein's no dummy. You know, he's a thug and a crook, so he's out here selling that oil. He's got this open door, and he's allowed to sell so much, so he sneaks out and sells a whole bunch more to Jordan, and then the United States buys that extra oil that he's selling beyond the Food for Peace program or the Food for Medicine program, and then the United States is buying it through this Bay Oil Company. Now, isn't that just real special? So, you know, we Americans have turned into being hypocrites. We've turned into a nation of liars and hypocrites and thieves. And now we're becoming aggressors in going out here in the world and taking people's property away from them in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we do this under the guise of fighting terrorism. So we've got a noble, righteous cause that we're fighting for. And that's what Hitler did. You know, Hitler came up with a noble, righteous cause for the people of Germany to fight for. You have to do that. And so when an event like 9/11 occurs, Hitler staged the Reichstag fire. And he said, these dirty communists over here, we got to take action. We got to do something about this to protect the people of Germany. And so George Bush comes along and said, oh, my God, look at this. Look at these terrible terrorists over here. We got to do something. I don't know if I mentioned this. I think I've done this a time or two on the air, but if I haven't, let me review this. From 1980 to 2001, the total number of deaths worldwide, from terrorism, never numbered 20,000. Since the war on terrorism, just taking Iraq, we killed more than 100,000 civilians in Iraq. We Americans killed 100,000 over in Iraq over this two-year war. Five times as many people as the terrorists have ever killed. We Americans have killed five times as many. I don't know if that means anything or if that's important to you one way or the other, but, you know, if you're just looking at the number of people getting killed, you know, you look at 3,000 Americans getting killed in the trade towers and you say, my God, that's terrible. Well, 100,000 Iraqis, that's okay because this is called retribution. But hey, boys and girls, in the meantime, you've got a billion of these Muslims around the world. And these people, you know, all kind of think alike. You know, birds of a feather flock together. And they hate us. And I'd say that puts us in a pretty poor position. You've got 290 million Americans and you've got a billion. That's three times as many people that hate you. Then you got these Chinese over here, you know, competing for the dwindling means of survival in oil. And you got India with a billion people. And you got the Muslims with a billion people. That's half the people in the world opposed to you, against you, and want to kill you. Well, you know, the enemies are cheap. You got enemies out here. They don't cost much. Friends, you know, cost quite a bit. So I would suggest, you know, just in the interest of common sense over here, that you rethink your policy. It might be that we should come up with a different energy solution than stealing Iraqi and Iranian oil. Okay, now the White Rose story is also in the International Forecaster, a different edition. It's the June 2005, number 1, volume 9, number 6-1. Remember, the International Forecaster is available. It's $130 a year, $129.95 in U.S. funds. Remember, this is an international newsletter, goes out all over the world. Just like our program here goes out to 75 countries that we know of. I mean, we're available all over the world, in all 200 countries over the Internet, but 75 countries, or at least people in radio stations in 75 countries, tell us that they broadcast our program or listen to us or do something. Well, the International Forecaster is international in scope, and you can order a subscription, $129.95. If you're going to send a check, make the check out to Robert Chapman. Do not make the check out to International Forecaster. Make it out to Bob Chapman. But you'll send this to the International Forecaster, Post Office Box 510-518, Punta, P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, Florida, 33951-0518. And he says here in the newsletter, you got to include that zip plus 4, otherwise he can't get your mail. Again, that's Post Office Box 510-518, Punta, Gorda, Florida, 33951-0518. It's called the International Forecaster, and they also have a website. It's called The International Forecaster, all one word, theinternationalforecaster.com. It's an easy one. And then their email is International Forecaster. There's no Z on that one. It's just International Forecaster, two words, at yahoo.com. International Forecaster at yahoo.com. Here's Chapman's publication of the White Rose story. This story was published after World War II. I can remember reading this story a time or two somewhere, and I hadn't thought too much about it. It's kind of like the story of Anne Frank, you know, the Diary of Anne Frank, and a lot of stories, you know, came out of World War II. This is called the White Rose story. This fella sent it out to 50 editors, and not a one of them would publish it. And Bob Chapman published it, and I said, well, it's a good story, so let me tell it to you. The truth is in plain sight. It's begging for your help. You choose your own path. You choose your own destiny. I believe the United States is an almost exact mirror of Hitler's Germany, and I have seen in some research that Hitler's Germany was just the elite's trial run for what we see happening here in America today. I imagine what it must have been like during or being a Jew in Germany in the 1930s and the 1940s. There were those that blindly followed. Some didn't really care and just let things take its course. And then there were those that helped the Nazi machine and joined the SS, and some just rolled over because it was convenient and it was easy. There were some that said it could never happen. Don't worry, you are depressing everyone. Some told their friends and family to just be still and be quiet. Some stood up to the machine and were taken away, watched by those who were too busy or emotionally unattached to the situation to care. Now, the reason Hitler was so successful in genocide and wartime murder was because the citizens refused to open their eyes. The citizens read Hitler's willing, Hitler's willing executioners, Ordinary Germans and the Holocaust by Daniel J. Goldhagen. Daniel J. Goldhagen. It's a book called Ordinary Germans and the Holocaust. Now, there's a choice to be made. One of the most beautiful stories I have ever read was of a group of college students in Germany. They were called the White Rose. The group of friends that made up the White Rose evolved slowly over a period of time while the Nazi machine was being built. Medical students Hans Scholl, 24, and his sister Sophie, 21, Alexander Schmorell, 25, Christopher Probst, 23, Willy Graf, 25, and Professor Kurt Huber, 49, all came from comfortable, conservative, bourgeoisie, Christian, German-oriented families. The main criterion for membership was not necessarily a political rejection of National Socialism, but rather a moral one, and the affirmation of those intellectual, cultural, and religious values that Nazism set out to destroy. That's what united the group together. It was its shared interest in art, music, and literature. Now, the White Rose, the name history is uncertain. The Nazis squashed the group and then identified to prevent copycats, sent out leaflets entitled Leaflets of the White Rose. They called for passive resistance against the regime. The first leaflet began, "It is certain that today every honest German is ashamed of his government. Who among us has any conception of shame that will befall us and our children when one day the veil has fallen from our eyes and the most horrible of crimes that indefinitely outdistance every other human measure, reach the light of day?" Now, the second leaflet referred to the 300,000 Jews being murdered in Poland. Evidence was known of the treatment of Jews in Germany. The third leaflet called for sabotage in armaments plants and war industries. Sabotage at all gatherings, rallies, public ceremonies, and organizations of the National Socialist Party. The fifth leaflet, the fourth is unknown to me, but the fifth leaflet in 1943 was a call to all Germans. It condemned militarism and Nazi barbarism, and it called for a federal Germany based on freedom of speech, freedom of belief, protection of the individual against the arbitrary action of the criminal power. These were the foundations of a new Europe. When these perpetrators were caught in the universities with thousands of leaflets, the brother and sister team, the Scholls, were arrested. Some of the students are said to have cheered their arrest. The Scholls refused to name collaborators, even though Sophie endured a 17-hour torture interrogation. The SS eventually found the main group. They tried them, and they were guillotined. When Sophie was sentenced to death, she said, "You know as well as we do that the war is lost. Now, why are you too cowardly to admit it?" Sophie's brother Hans wrote this on his cell, on the wall of his cell from Goth. It says, "Remain yourself in spite of all that the mighty do." Aren't we at least ashamed of the torture, the mass murders of civilians, the degradation of other peoples, the lies to our soldiers concerning depleted uranium, the stripping away of our Constitution through Patriot Act 1 and 2 in the name of safety, and the accelerated police state and the loss of liberties for packaged lies? End of the White Rose story. Bob Chapman. Remember Bob Chapman, the international forecaster? This is the June 2005 number one issue. Remember, the international forecaster now comes out four times a month. It's a weekly newsletter, 32 to 43 pages a week. It's probably the cheapest source of news that you can buy, 8 cents a page. Let's take a look at Southern California house prices. Now, Southern California home prices rose to record highs in April, but did so at their most sluggish pace in more than 3 years. The median price rose 15% on a year-over-year basis to $445,000. The record was $439,000. In March, it was the slowest rate of appreciation since March of 2002. Orange County rose to a record $576,000. Can you believe that? More than $500,000, $576,000. Its gain of 10.1% year over year was the lowest since October of 2001. Transactions in the Southland declined 4.5% year over year. The median price in Los Angeles County was up 15.5%. In San Bernardino County, 32.8%. Riverside, 21.4%. San Diego, 10%. Ventura, 9.5%. The madness continues unabated. Now, this is inflation. Housing inflation. Gasoline inflation. Food inflation. These are prices going up because we are printing money like it's going out of style. By the end of 2005, the money supply is expected to have moved in this direction. Now listen to these numbers. The total money supply in American dollars in 1987 was $3.5 trillion. $3.5 trillion. All right, by the year 2000, it had accelerated to $9.5 trillion. And by the end of 2005, it's expected to be $13.5 trillion. Now, as we print more dollars, boys and girls, the dollars that are in circulation become cheaper and cheaper. And that's why from 1980 to 2005, the inflation rate has been 50%. Things here now cost twice as much as they did in 1980, 25 years ago. That's the half-life of the dollar. Half-life. It's now, it takes $2 today to buy what $1 bought in 1980. As you go back through history, you find out that in 1932, let's just take a number, 1930, if you had a $20 Federal Reserve note and a $20 gold piece, they'd both buy the same thing. They would buy a Hickey Freeman suit. They would buy wingtip shoes, suspenders, a shirt, and a tie. $20. Today, that $20 bill will probably buy one necktie, probably if it's not silk. And the $20 gold piece will still buy a Hickey Freeman suit and wingtip shoes, a shirt, suspenders. You see, the gold has maintained its value and the paper has depreciated by 96.5%. So when people talk about the destruction of the dollar, it isn't something that is coming, it's something that has already occurred. The dollar has already been destroyed. At least 96.5% of it is gone. All you're talking about now is the 3.5 cents that's left. Hard landing or soft landing, that's what you're talking about here. The 3.5 cents that's left, the rest of it's gone. Now, for the 3.5 cents that's left, people are out here buying houses at $576,000. By the way, that $576,000 house in 1927 could have been bought for $7,000 cash. Houses in San Francisco, you know those row houses on the hills, are selling for $650,000. $650,000. It's not that the house has become more valuable, it's that your dollars have become so cheap. And people are mesmerized now by the number of dollars, not their purchasing power. Now, if you're concerned about economics, you should be concerned about the purchasing power of the dollar, not how many you have, but what do they buy? So when you're calculating profit, boys and girls, in the old days, all we had to do was calculate the number of dollars. You bought it for $100, you sold it for $200, you made $100 profit. Today, when you buy something for $100 and you sell it for $200, you have to calculate the depreciating value of the dollars that you sold it for. You didn't make $100 worth of profit. You might have made $80 worth of profit because you've got an inflation factor that needs to be factored in. And in my business school, I'll show you how to factor those in. Remember, our schools are on compact disc. They can be done at home, adult homeschooling. I always recommend that students come here to class because when you're sitting here in the classroom, you can ask questions. Of course, you can call on the telephone and ask those questions. It's just that we think that it's a little better educational experience if you can actually watch the numbers being splayed out on the whiteboard, and you can ask questions at the same time. And I think you'll be shocked. You know, the average guy today goes to college. He gets a degree. He becomes a doctor, and he goes out and buys a $300,000 condominium on an interest-only loan, a 30-year note. But I would submit to you that that young doctor probably isn't very well trained in percentages and inflation and deflation and the percentages that are coming up in the future concerning that mortgage and the legal implications of bankruptcy. I think most of you people out there are saying, well, big deal, if I don't make money, I'll file for bankruptcy. You're going to be in for a very rude awakening in October, boys and girls, concerning bankruptcy. Bankruptcy is not going to be an option for most of you people out there come October. Congress and the President just signed a new bankruptcy proposal. Of course, United Airlines can bankrupt out of $9 billion worth of pension obligations, but you can't bankrupt out of a $300,000 bad deal on a condominium. So you might want to tuck that away in your heart. Now let me give you the name and number again of the International Forecaster. That's the paper that we're reviewing. It's the International Forecaster, Post Office Box 510518, Punta Gorda, Florida 33951-0518. Make your check payable to Bob Chapman. It's $129.95 in U.S. funds. Again, that's Post Office Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida. Spelled P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951-0518. He says you got to have that -0518 zip plus 4 because he has a post office box, and they won't deliver it without it. So, how's that? Now, I've been covering a number of stories here, the General Motors story, the free trade story, the dollar story, pension story, Bilderberger story, bankruptcy, commercial paper. Now, on page 11, talking about house prices. So you get down here, Iraqi oil, house prices. There's more to come. And tomorrow I'm going to tell you about the mercury story. The Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Company cannot be sued for the mercury that's in the vaccines that go into your child. So if you've got a claim on mercury toxicity or poisoning, your Congress has slammed the door on you. They can poison you, but you cannot sue. You cannot get compensation. Now, you didn't hear that on the Lair News Hour, and you didn't hear that on the CBS Evening News, but I'm going to tell you that story next time when we come back. All right, we're out of time. We've got to leave it right there. Let me remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the law hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to get yours. To order, just call the law school and ask for it. It's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Well, that's it. Time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, reviewing the International Forecaster, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.